Pep Guardiola has been at Man City since 2016, and he has unparalleled success in the Premier League, four in a row, as well as picking up numerous League Cups, FA Cups, as well as that elusive Champions League in that incredible treble win of the 2022-2023 season. However, this season has brought some struggle, as you've seen. Since the October international break, they have lost four in a row in all competitions, including that 4-1 defeat against Sporting Lisbon in the Champions League, as well as that loss to Tottenham in the League Cup, knocking them out of the League Cup. Obviously, maybe a bit of a struggle in the Champions League. So we're here to talk, is Pep Guardiola's time at Manchester City coming to an end? Is his sort of reign over the Premier League starting to wane? Or is this just a blip? I'm here joined today by Sam. So welcome, Sam. Nice to be here.
Hello, everybody.
And we're just going to chat about what we think. In my opinion, I think it is starting to wane for him. You look at when he was at Bayern and Barcelona, for example. He's been at Man City. He's managed more games at Man City than he has with Bayern and Barcelona combined. Obviously, in his time at Barcelona, he picked up two Champions Leagues as well as numerous leagues and cups. And at Bayern, he, you know, won every season the league, just couldn't win that Champions League there at Bayern Munich. Obviously, this, he's done incredible things at Man City, but maybe it is time for him to go. But there's numerous factors, the reason why they are struggling this season. I think one of them is Rodri, obviously the Ballon d'Or winner for this season, quite controversially, but we won't go into that. But maybe that is the loss, or maybe it just be a different tactics, but we'll have a chat about now. But first of all, he has done incredibly, but why do you think he's sort of, the struggle has been over the past sort of month for Man City, going into obviously this big game against Spurs this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of factors in this. You touched on it very briefly. Losing Rodri is a gigantic loss for Man City. A player who can break up the play, retain possession. I mean, we've seen his passing statistics, tackling statistics. I mean, he doesn't miss tackles. He doesn't lose the ball. I mean, in terms of defence, that is integral to a team's structure. And I mean, in the most recent lineup against Brighton, you could see holding midfield partnership of Kovacic and Rico Lewis not strong enough to hold off Brighton for 90 minutes. They look very comfortable for extended periods of time, but two goals in quick succession from O'Reilly and also João Pedro, I just think it's impossible for players that they've got at their disposal to match up to the quality that Rodri has. I think as well, they've not been helped recently by injuries. I mean, if you look at the injury list from their last fixture, Stones, Ruben Diaz, Rodri, Jack Grealish, Oscar Bob, all injured. And then other players coming towards, you know, the sort of twilight of their career. Kevin De Bruyne is the main one. Kyle Walker's aging as well. I mean, you've got to start thinking about how to replace these players. They've been stalwarts of the Manchester City team for years. And I think we've come to sort of expect that level of dominance from Man City. And now that this level of pressure that they put on oppositions is sort of waning a bit, it's sort of reducing, it creates an issue for fans and supporters alike, because they're wondering, where has that gone? Is it a failing of Pep Guardiola? I mean, personally, I'd argue he's still trying to implement the same style of football, but he just hasn't quite got the same level of player at his disposal.
Yeah. Like you say, I think attacking-wise, they've got a cracking young team, like young attack. You look at Haaland's 24, so Christ, he's going to be a pain. Even if City don't have Pep Guardiola anymore, he's going to be the reason why City can be up there for every season in every competition, you would imagine. As well as, like you say, Doku, Oscar Bob, who's currently injured, but he's a very, very good player. But then you look at sort of the midfield and defence. Rodri is out for what probably will be the rest of this season, maybe even start of next season. But Kevin De Bruyne is 33. Bernardo Silva's just turned 30. They've brought back Ilkay Gundogan, who was absolutely amazing a couple of seasons ago before he went to Barcelona. But then again, he is 34. Kovacic is 30. And then you're saying you're playing Rico Lewis. Yes, he's 19, but he's also not a defensive midfielder. He's a fullback.
Yeah.
Kyle Walker's 34, who in my eyes, I don't rate Kyle Walker as much. This might be, I still think that the only reason why he's in the City team is because of his pace. And that will start to wane, I believe. And it should be now he's 34. But like I say, They've got a perfectly made replacement, in my opinion, in Rico Lewis. And like you say, but they've got some good young defenders still. They've got UFC John Stone. John Stones is 30, but Gardevoir is 22. And he's going to be the linchpin in that defense for a while. And Diaz is 27. So they've still got people that defense that can be there for a while, but they've got those aging names, especially midfield, might be their struggle this season, especially when it comes to February, March time, when you have, Champions League games, FA Cup games, if they go far in that competition as well. Obviously, there's no replays this year, but still playing every sort of two games a week with that aging midfield is going to really, test them.
Certainly, yeah. I think as well, you've got to look at some of the younger players as well who they're bringing through or, they're taking a gamble on. I mean, Savio is the main one, I think. It's a gamble signing from Girona, a part of the City group, of course. But I think he hasn't quite impressed as much as people were hoping so far. A generally low number of goal contributions. I know he's only 20 years old, but you're looking at what Haaland is doing. It's just eclipsing all of the other players. Foden is another one. I mean, he has just been absolutely dreadful since before the Euro, since it sort of came to the Euros, and ever since he's just not been able to impress at all. I'm not really sure quite what's wrong with him, because he last season was absolutely electric, has been a lot for Man City and in an England shirt at times as well. I just think it's a bit of a struggle to see some of these players who they've, really backed at present, not quite performing. And then obviously the responsibility therefore falls on these older players. As we said, Kyle Walker, Kovacic, Gundogan. I mean, they're not going to have the legs in a few years. And, an entire wave of players is going to have to be replaced in that Manchester City team.
Yeah. And like you say, we're looking at, the team last week against Brighton before the international break, with injuries, they were playing Simpson, Pussy, I don't know how to say the last bit of that name, but like I say, he's a youth player. He's someone who's only made a three against City against Tottenham Hotspur back a couple weeks ago in the League Cup. And he's now playing for City in the Premier. You wouldn't have seen that 2-3 years ago from Pep Guardiola. That would be more what Klopp was doing, more than it would be a Pep Guardiola move. But these injuries is forcing him to make this move, and it's a good move. I like that he is using a few more of the youngsters. It helps a lot more. But I'm a bit concerned. I think the thing is with football is if they continue to struggle, City fans might call for his head, which they shouldn't do. The proper fans shouldn't do that, because what has he done for Man City? And it might even make it worse if anything comes up with this. I know it's not really much talk about this, but with the financial fair play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When that does come out, if, for example, it does come out that City have been found guilty and they move to the Championship, I don't think Pep's going to stay. And I don't think a lot of the players are going to stay. So that might be the big one, but we'll see what goes on there. But I think it's also the change it would be from the last few years where, and you've got, and Sam's got the stats for this, is the more reliance on Haaland. And the thing of he's the only solution, because obviously they had Aguero before and he was, in my eyes, he is the best Man City player. And he's probably up there, top five Premier League players of all time in my eyes. The over-reliance on Haaland is probably going to cost City this season in my eyes.
I think it's definitely something to consider, as you said, Owen. I can give you a little comparison between one of Aguero's best seasons for Man City and Haaland's 23-24 campaign. In 18-19, Aguero had a total of 10 big chances missed compared to Haaland's 34 last season. That is a massive statistic. To miss 24 big chances more than, the preceding striker. You're succeeding one of the greatest Premier League strikers of all time and missing so many more chances that have clearly been provided by, an astute midfield. Your Fodens, De Bruyners, who are in there putting chances on a plate for Haaland, and he's not putting them away with as much regularity as we expect. He's still scoring an astounding number of goals, as we've come to expect from Haaland, but he's also missing a lot of chances as well. You can't consider him entirely clinical, if that makes sense. Another thing as well is the link-up play between the difference between Aguero and Haaland is just astounding. In the 18-19 season, Aguero registered 23.7 accurate passes per 90 minutes and 1.63 successful dribbles. Haaland, by comparison, last season registered 10.4 accurate passes and 0.42 successful dribbles. What this tells me is that Haaland really does have no impact on the link-up play or the ability to dribble, pass the ball around the box. He's purely to put the ball in the back of the net. Now, that is all well and good, but if you then look at the big chances missed statistic, he's not doing that with as much potency as you would expect. And that's where the problem lies, I think, is, as you said, there's an over-reliance on Haaland. And in games where he's not able to put the chances away, as we saw recently, he had about a 5-game goal drought. When those droughts occur, they are really struggling. And that has been shown by the 5-point gaps been opened up by Liverpool this season.
Yeah. And I also think another reason is lack of a plan B. Mm. Last season, they had Julian Alvarez. And yes, he might not have played as much, but he scored a decent amount of goals. I mean, 11 in the Premier League, 5 in the Champions League, and 1 in the FA Cup. But he was someone who, if they needed a formation, they needed a second striker or someone just to offer a little bit of a different offer as a striker. He was able to make that. And those 11 goals were probably one of the reasons why City won the league last season. But this season, they've sold him for 75 million to Real Madrid, but haven't placed him.
Yeah, and exactly.
I think that's cost them a lot.
Yeah, I think as we've seen at times with City before, there is a real struggle in that striker role because they were able to win the Premier League in playing predominantly a strikerless formation. But there has to come a time where you have a recognised number nine who is going to supply the goals. Obviously, Haaland has been that. But as we've discussed, the problem here is that if Haaland's goals dry up, where do their goals come from? And it is clear that it's not really coming consistently from any other player on the pitch.
No,
I think Haaland has 12, I think, is it 12 goals in the league this season?
12 goals. But then the next top scorers are Kovacic and Gardevoir. When you had your centre back scoring the joint second row goals, and your fourth best goal scorer is your other centre back in John Stones, it's not particularly great. Plus, also creating chances. Yes, they've spread them around, but they've not really had a brilliant creator. Like I say, Savinho and Bernardo Silva, the top assisters, both are 3, so they've not had that person who will assist everything. There might be issues of injuries, and also maybe the age with Kevin De Bruyne. But because he was that season when Haaland scored 40 plus, that's because he had Kevin De Bruyne and Ilkay Gundogan both at their peak.
Mm. Yeah. I think realistically, De Bruyne is now reaching the twilight of his career. I mean, De Bruyne started the first game under Pep Guardiola in 2016 against Sunderland on the right wing. I mean, that really tells you his longevity at the club. I mean, it's the same with John Stones. John Stones started that first game as well. So you can really see, two of the players have been ever present at Man City throughout the entire Guardiola era. But it is now coming to that point where they just haven't got the legs for it anymore. I mean, Stones is okay because he's only 30 years old. But I mean, De Bruyne, we've seen in the last 2 seasons, he's just been relentlessly injured. And unable to get runs of games together. When he is fit, I mean, everyone knows his quality. I mean, he's arguably the greatest Premier League midfielder, Premier League creator that there has ever been. But particularly this season, I mean, he has really struggled for fitness. I mean, on the bench again against Brighton, unable to go from the off. I mean, it pushed even Mateus Nunez out to like a sort of wide midfield role, which he's not used to at all. And as you said, there's a lack of consistency amongst players who are providing assists for the strikers. You know, you used to have that pairing of Gundogan and De Bruyne that was nailed on to provide strikers with chances. I mean, they're struggling a bit more for that now, I think.
Yeah. In your eyes, what do you think they need? Like in January, obviously January is not too far away. We've finished our last international break of the season, but Man City have got a tough run of fixtures coming up. You look at, they've got Tottenham at home this weekend, but that's always going to be a tough game. I know Tottenham aren't with the best of form right now, but they always play up when it's against Man City. We know that from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Then they need to kick back their Champions League. They got home to Feyenoord. And then obviously the big one, Man City travel to Anfield to face Liverpool in what is probably going to be, if City lose that, then, you know, it's going to be a tough ask for the Champions League and with the Premier League title this season. And then they're going to be at home the couple of days later against a Nottingham Forest side who, yes, they lost just before the international break, but they're fifth in the league right now. They're a top side at the moment and a side bang on form. So some really tough fixtures coming up for Man City. But obviously, as they approach the Christmas period and then into January, is there any sort of transfers or any sort of positions you think they should go for to maybe try and launch an attack, an assault on the Premier League this season?
I think for me, realistically, replacing Rodri, having a short-term fix for that issue is the main priority. Because no matter which way you want to argue it about Haaland's, you know, inconsistencies recently, he is still a world-class striker. I mean, his scoring rate in the last two seasons has been completely unparalleled. But the real issue here is that Man City have been conceding a lot more chances than they usually do. They currently stand 15th for XG conceded, but they're second in the table, meaning that there are five better teams than them at keeping chances away from their goal. Liverpool are the lowest XG conceders this season. They've only conceded 9.5 XG. And I just think that having that central defensive midfield partnership of Lewis, Kovacic or Nunez sometimes, De Bruyne sometimes in the holding role, is not strong enough to compensate for the loss of Rodri and what he brings to the security of the Man City defence. I think finding a short-term fix in that holding midfield number six role has got to be the priority, because attacking-wise, they're still towards the top end of the Premier League. I mean, they've got the highest XG of 22.3, highest shots on target per 90 of 6.7, and they've still got the highest possession per game as well, 64.1%. So going forward, they're not struggling overall, but it's just they're conceding to a low number of chances. I mean, it was proven against Brighton. It's been proven against Sporting. Teams are able to be clinical against Manchester City. People are able to score against them, and that has got to be eliminated.
Yeah, and you look at before January, Tottenham have got Heung-min Son, who is, you know, a clinical striker on his day. Liverpool have, on top form right now. Diaz has scored a lot. Nunez is starting to fire a little bit more. So you're looking at that. They've got, and for Nottingham Forest, Wood is putting away chances. So
yeah,
they will only need one or two chances to score. And if City can't, at the moment, it's like City need to score two to three to win a game. And sometimes doing that, sometimes they're not. I think maybe also if they can, maybe find a backup striker or someone that can supplement Erling Haaland as well at a different style to him. Someone like a Julian Alvarez, someone with the sort of Ike of Julian Alvarez. Just someone who can sort of play off Haaland or even come on for him and just offer something different. Because otherwise, in games where Haaland just doesn't work, what they're going to do? Just keep doing what they're doing. They need to find something else. And in my opinion, they probably need to find someone like a backup or just someone who can supplement him.
I completely agree. I think it's got to be a technical player. It's got to have someone same build and the same capabilities that Aguero possessed. You know, technical, good passing, good dribbling, you know, excellent first touch. Haaland is more of a powerhouse. He's someone with excellent physical attributes. I think this has got to be a technical signing. It's got to be someone whose ball-playing ability is second to none, who is going to be intricate around that penalty area. I think the most recent example and telltale sign of the fact that Haaland won't work in every single game was in their 2-1 loss against Bournemouth. Bournemouth's pitch, the Vitality Stadium, is a very, very small pitch. It's renowned for being very tight, not a lot of space on the pitch. Pitches like that are ones where Haaland struggles the most. And it was shown here, he didn't score again. And it's because there's no space for him to run into. There's nowhere for him to move. There's no way for him to shift the defenders about or latch onto any loose balls. Because, I mean, every single ball that gets played over the top, it was just going straight to Mark Travers in goal. I mean, Travers did have a fantastic game. But you have to realise that Haaland is a specific player. He has got a way of playing, a style, and that is to exploit the space, be physical, bully defenders. And in tight spaces where you've got to be more intricate on the ball, he just doesn't possess that ability. And Owen, I'd completely agree with you that buying a backup striker, one who can play it around a bit more, who can link up the play better, I mean, I think would be a very clever signing.
Yeah. And like I say, it's been like almost 10, will be from next year, be 9 years since Pep Guardiola joined Manchester City from Bayern Munich. Do you think he stays beyond next season? Or it, obviously, I think it a lot weighs on the FFP case. But if, for example, they don't get anything to do with that and that's it, they've been cleared, do you think he stays a couple more years depending on what happens in this season? And if he does leave, where do you see him going?
I think it's a really tough one to say because I think, I know we can try to ignore it, but it really does all hinge on the FFP. I mean, 115 breaches, it's going to take a long time to investigate. Guardiola's been in charge of 489 Manchester City games now. I mean, that's a hell of a lot. And I think, as you said, to start the podcast, there is an air of, you know, sort of this is the end about this. This is coming towards the end of a tenure. And it's not quite going to plan. He hasn't quite got the same level of players at his disposal that he's had for the last 5 years. Is there potential he'd leave? I'd say there is. There was media speculation in the summer where he was quoted as sounding unsure as to whether he would stay beyond this season. And I think a season in which they don't win the league or the Champions League would push him to move away. I think it would be tough to reinstate himself at an elite club, having already been at Barcelona, Bayern and Man City. I mean, I could see it being, you know, I know AC Milan are struggling at the moment. And there are times when Inter and Juventus have gone through rocky patches as well. I feel like one of those clubs would be a perfect place for him to move. I mean, we've seen Jose Mourinho move, you know, to all parts of the world. I mean, Roma, even Spurs as well. But I think, as you said, it feels like it's coming to the end of a reign. And I think a season without winning the Premier League could really be the telltale sign of Guardiola's dominance coming to an end. I mean, what do you think about this, Owen?
Yeah, I think it looks like the end. And I think Pep is like Klopp, where he would rather leave than be sacked. As for say, I don't think City would sack him just because of the respect they have for him. When Pep does leave, I see him maybe going for a national team job, not Spain, because I don't think, just due to his Catalan roots, I just don't think he would manage Spain. I know he was rumoured of the England job, didn't know if anything came up with that. I don't think it did. I would see him maybe taking a national team job if that is maybe with Brazil or somewhere like that. Brazil, Germany, France, whenever that comes up. I know France could be France would be a perfect fit for him.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think somewhere like that, I think could be the solution for him. I think, I don't think he takes another, if he does leave, he either takes a national team job or at least takes a break for a year and a bit, because I don't think he's going to go straight into full-time club football, and if ever really. I think he might even just want to go into international football because, like you say, he's managed at three of the biggest clubs in the world, all of big powerhouses of football. And I don't think he's, you look, yeah, I said Italy, I think if you're looking at anyone in the clubs, I don't think he manages in Spain because he has too much respect for Barcelona. I don't think he manages in Germany because he's too much respect for Bayern, and he wouldn't manage in England again. So the only option in one of the top leagues, you have a manager in France for PSG, which could happen, or he goes and manages in Italy. So yeah, I think it's either national team or Italy for me, a national team anyway.
I think that's a fair assessment. And I think you brought up something that could definitely occur, and that is potentially taking the France job. In the last year, especially at the Euros, there was a great deal of discontent around the way that Didier Deschamps plays football. It's so defensive, especially with the players that he's got at his disposal. I mean, I know Mbappe has not been on brilliant form recently, especially since he's moved to Real Madrid, but not allowing one of the best players in the world free rein to just do what he wants on the ball, and keeping him in this rigid structure is always going to garner criticism. I think the criticism that Deschamps has actually received could lead him to be sacked if they're, you know, unsuccessful at the next major tournament, unless he leaves before that. And I think France would be, you know, it'd be a high caliber role for Guardiola to take on, just like the Man City job was. I mean, he had a lot of work to do. I mean, you look at the defense that Man City had in their first game under Guardiola, a defense of Sanya, Stones, Alexander Kolarov and Gael Clichy, you know, playing a left back at centre back. And then you look at the defence that, you know, they've put out in recent years. At the moment, obviously, Gvardiol, Akanji, Ake, Ruben Diaz, Kyle Walker, Ederson, all in that back line. I mean, the goalkeeper in the first game for Guardiola was Willy Caballero. I think if you just look at the difference that has been made under Guardiola in terms of personnel, it shows what he's capable of doing in terms of improving the overall outlook of a team and the quality of players in each position. And I feel like he'd be able to identify the up-and-coming talent for a national team like France and exploit that and turn them back into, you know, a dominant powerhouse that they were in the early 2000s.
100%, like you say, France are so defensive at the moment. And when you have who probably is the best, one of the best players in world football in Kylian Mbappe, and you keep him so defensive, and there's, didn't he say he doesn't really like playing slash football? He said something like that. If he plays under someone like Pep, he will love it.
I think you're definitely right. He noted recently in the media that he doesn't want to play up front. He only wants to play on the wing. And obviously he has been deployed on the wing for France as usual, but I think it's tough when you're playing in this sort of really slow build-up structure. I mean, Mbappe is a lightning quick, like, runner. He's someone who beats people for pace no matter what. He's someone who can get in behind the opposition, take people on, exploit the space that's open, and not being allowed to do that in a sort of like ridiculously defensive possession build-up is tough. The only problem I'd say in terms of Mbappe with Guardiola coming in is Guardiola also plays a sort of possession dominant style, one with lots of intricate passing, high passing numbers. I mean, I don't know if it's quite the style for Mbappe, but that's not to say it wouldn't be successful with France in general.
Yeah, like you mean, I think it's a different style to the Somps. Usually it's a bit more faster paced. But like I say, I think any job in the national team game, I would have loved him at England. I think Thomas Tuchel is the best option, and we won't talk about because that was talked about a few weeks ago, but I think Pep would have been a great option. But yeah, but again, thanks for coming on today, Sam. It was a pleasure to talk about this. Obviously, it's
a big
talking point, especially as they go into what will be a testing time for Pep Guardiola. But thank you all for listening to this podcast, and have a great rest of your day. Goodbye.